Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Bob, who is here to speak with us about his experience of participating in the Commitment Buddies program. Welcome, Bob.
Thanks, Jen.
So we have a new quarter that is now open for folks to sign up. And, you know, it's still a relatively new program, and yet we're already getting rave reviews. So we thought it would be fun to have someone on to speak about their direct experience of it. So maybe you could start by just saying what the program is and a little of how it works.
Sure. So the Keeping Commitments Buddy program, it's a three-month-long program, and people kind of choose in each quarter for, like, how long they want to sign up for and whether they want to send, how many times a day they want to kind of interact with the program. And what you do is that as a participant, you make a commitment. And so I actually was a participant in a quarter, and my commitment was to practice the guitar for 20 minutes a day and then record and listen about my experience of that. And so every day, you know, my commitment was to once a day send a text and say, I kept my commitment today, or I didn't keep my commitment today. And then the steward that I'm matched up with sends me back a text. If I send them a text that day, it basically says, gesho. Or if I didn't send them a text at all, I'll get back a text that says the text was not received. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of just a very kind of clean sort of communication. There's not opinions about it. There's no, you know, processing about it. There's no, I was good, I was bad, I did it, I didn't do it. It was just like,
no good job and no bad boy. Right.
Right. Exactly. And I'm really happy that I've kind of participated it from both sides of it, both as a uh-huh. steward and as someone just doing the program, signed up for the program, mm-hmm. because I was looking at this just earlier today, knowing to be on the call, is that that I think one of the biggest benefits was that so I make a commitment. It could be anything, right? It could be mm-hmm. I'm going to sit today. I'm going to practice my guitar. Mm-hmm. I'm going to
pat my head three times, as we've talked about on radio shows.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It actually doesn't mm-hmm. matter. It really doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, besides just the normal things about a commitment, I get to see, you know, I get to, one, kind of choose to show up for it over and over again.
Yeah.
Or when I don't, you know, kind of look at, well, how did that happen, right?
Yeah.
And acknowledge that it happened. And I think for me, one of the most important, kind of strongest points of it for me was that In the midst of the program, it's hide for conditioning to hide out.
Yeah.
Right? They're like, I certainly when I was a participant, there were a few times where I just didn't keep my commitment and I didn't send the text. Mm-hmm. And I got back that text that says the text was not received. And, you know, obviously, you know, there are many places we can go with that. But
absolutely.
All that is information, as we've talked about, like with notes at the monastery. It's just information.
Yep.
And so if I receive that as information, it's impossible for conditioning to kind of, you know, kind of rub its hands. Okay, well, we didn't keep it, and we didn't keep it committed. We didn't, you know, hide, you know, not communicate about it, and we can just kind of stay safe back here and continue torturing this human being,
right?
And instead, it's that opportunity to say, oh, I didn't keep my commitment. Wow, well, it's interesting that happened. Let's see how that happened and recommit.
Yes. I mean, there's about 6 trillion things in what you've said so far, Bob. It's just, I mean, because what you're pointing at is how the brilliance and the simplicity of the program is really the thing that is so supportive about it. Because even just take that last piece, right? So one day, you know, whatever day, you don't keep the commitment and you don't send the text. And you get a text back that simply says the text was not received. And as you say, there are so many places that conditioning can go with that. And I just really saw how that makes it a brilliant training ground. Because conditioning is going to go wherever conditioning goes with it that day. Maybe it's like, well, I don't care. Who cares? I don't care about this stupid commitment. Or maybe it throws a, you know, goes crazy. Like, well, but I had a million things going on. I mean, as you say, it could do anything. And so the potential training in that particular piece of it is exactly what you're pointing at, which is it's just information. So me, the practitioner, I just take in his information, regardless of whatever conditioning is doing around it, and just go on with my life And that training is really applicable everywhere in our life.
Yeah. And as you were kind of reflecting and looking at all that, is that it really, to me, is it's very similar to meditation. So I'm sitting in front of this blank wall, just breathing, and there's all the stuff that conditioning is trying to, you know, engage me with. And the more I sit, the more I make a commitment and you know, kind of go through that process, the more I realize that any kind of commentary on it, right, is only coming from conditioning.
Yep, exactly. And the simplicity of the program and the simplicity of meditation, you know, it's why in meditation we face a blank white wall, right? Because as much as possible, we're stripping away all the complexity so that we can clearly see the process.
Right. And so, you know, so I keep my commitment. I get it back at Gassho. Well, it's not like a, you know, there might be like a part of me who wants to like hear like an attaboy or great job, Bob, or, you know, and I know through recording listening that I can certainly, you know, do that for myself. But that's not what this is, right? I mean, this is, you know, it's just a way to make a commitment and then see all the things that happen just in making a simple commitment, you know? So whether I play the guitar or don't play the guitar, it doesn't really matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
But whether I keep that commitment or not is really important in learning about how conditioning tries to keep me from what I want to be doing.
Exactly. And I project a piece that I really, really got in listening to you, Bob, is that, you know, it's always true. I mean, we talk about commitments endlessly in practice, and we talk about how it's not about the commitment, it's about keeping the commitment and all those things and the process we see around it. But the thing that it potentially, if we use it in the way you're describing, that this particular offering gives us is the way to highlight, like, in other words, don't miss the opportunity. Okay, so you've made this commitment. Don't miss the opportunity to see everything that does come up around it. Because if we're not paying attention, even though it's all going to come up, we're not benefiting from it because we're not seeing it. And this structure gives us a way to really pay attention to it and attend to it and get to benefit from all that's coming up and seeing around it, what we're seeing around it.
Yeah, that was certainly my experience. And and then, of course, the benefit on top of, you know, seeing so much about conditioning is I get to actually turn my attention to something and show up for that.
Yeah.
You know, and that is like, once again, it isn't even so much about the content, right? It's a training to, like, you know, build up. I think they were talking about this on the morning call, you know, that like it's building up that experience of, like, you know, what happens if I just choose to consciously turn my attention to something, right? Yeah. Over and over and over again and get to have all of that I get to receive because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the other piece I really appreciated in what you said, is the over and over and over. So it's a quarter. And as you say, I mean, people can choose whatever length of time. You might say, hey, I want to do this for 2 weeks or a month. But it's up to those three, you know, you could do it up through those 3 months if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have a daily commitment for 3 months, so in this case, guitar, and every single day that's going to come up, every single day, oh, that's a brilliant, you know, sort of canvas against which to see so much of your describing.
Right. And I think, as with a lot of things like this that we do in practice, I found it really supportive to pick something that wasn't a big thing. It wasn't like, you know, something that's a real trigger or something that I know is just conditioning is just has me over the barrel with. You know, it's so great to pick something
that
you know, it really doesn't matter whether I play guitar every day or not. I want to.
Right.
But, you know, it's not that thing that, like, is going to, you know, because it's really, once again, back to what you were talking about, it's the training. It's the training over and over again.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just so helpful. It was to me, at least, to kind of pick something like that.
Yeah, that's lovely. And the other piece of it that I'm really getting as you're talking is how it can be used in so many different ways. So we're kind of talking about the meta structure process way it can be used. But let's say you really do enjoy the guitar and you get talked out of it because whatever, it's not important enough or it's not going to, whatever, you know, a condition could have a million reasons and you really want to do it, then you could use this program as a support for actually getting to do it, which is such a brilliant side benefit.
Yeah. And the other thing that was, as you were talking, is that that I know, and I've kind of seen other people do use it in this way, of like, it could also just be a practice support for practice. You know,
exactly.
So like I'm in the year-long retreat. My commitment could be like, I want to do my homework every day. Right?
Exactly.
It could be simple as that. And then
simple
it's just a huge support for another thing that I know that, you know, from my heart, I want to be committed to.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and I think there, I've even heard of folks who, you know, part of their commitment is that each morning I'm going to text with what my commitment is for today. So, because I was just thinking, like, with a radio show, so maybe one day my commitment is to get in the queue, and another day my commitment is to, you know, whatever it is. So there's even that flexibility, I think, in terms of doing daily commitments as well.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
And just one other thing, Bob, I really loved is you were saying that, you know, maybe there's someone who wants that sort of pat on the back or the attaboy. And that point that you made, that one of the things that's highlighted in this is, oh, I really want someone to say great job, and to realize, oh, I can do that. But that's one of those things that that's perfectly all right for him. So that's great. He wants, you know, kudos for playing the guitar. Great. I'm happy to give him all the kudos he wants for playing the guitar. So yet another side benefit to it. Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah. Mm. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Bob, to talk about your experience.
All right. Thank you, Jen. Good night.
All right. Good night. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Ashwini.
Wonderful. Thank you, Bob, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Ashwini. Welcome, Ashwini.
Hey, Michael.
Hi there. I'm
that
a big
was your
fan.
Favorite program, too, right?
you took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is a favorite program of mine also. Yeah, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, well, what I heard in that conversation, right, Michael, is what I love.
And it's great to see
practice.
It continuing and being highlighted. And
Michael, can you hear me, or are you having a difficulty hearing me? Michael,
I was having trouble hearing you there, Ashwini. Can you?
Oh, okay.
I can hear you now. Before that, I had trouble hearing you.
Okay, got it. I will try not to move many muscles while we do the show.
Okay, me too. All right, start again what you were sharing.
Well, I just love, what I love most that was being pointed to in that conversation is how much of practice is training, and I love to train, right?
Yes.
And so Bob is just giving us so many tips on how to use the structure of a practice to train the attention, to train not listening to the voices, to train to do a particular task, to train to lose interest in our feelings about stuff. But it's just a very simple structure that we could take advantage of to train in 100 ways.
Yes, yes. And I like how you frame that as training, because, you know, it doesn't make me a good person if I do it or a bad person if I don't. I'm just training. I enjoy training. I enjoy practice. I show up for it. Sometimes I see a lot. Sometimes I get identified. And it's what I do.
Yes. And I like that particular thing that Bob highlighted about training to receive something as pure information, right? Where
yes.
There's no ego involved in it. And if we're practicing letting go of the ego, then that becomes the point of all training, right? And there's a pure way in which I can watch what's the receiving station. Is it able to just be aware without any judgment or condemnation, as we say in the morning show, or
yes.
Is it something that colors that transmission of information, which gives me so much information of where the attention is for me?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots to see there. And I have announcements here, Ashwini.
Yes, I believe our calendar is suddenly filling up.
Yes, it is. In these times of change and uncertainty, the present moment is a refuge. Join Sangha this Sunday, September 13th, for a virtual workshop on being in the present moment by bringing attention to the body, which is always right here, right now.
Michael, I think that the title of that workshop is The Body, the Vehicle of Awakening.
Yes.
I've just seen the curriculum. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, great. 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 Wonderful. And coming October 4th, Sherry will lead a virtual workshop based on what she says may be the greatest spiritual practice book ever, To Kill a Mockingbird. The workshop will explore allowing the clarity of that which is to change us and in so doing, free us from egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. In preparation, Sherry highly recommends that those of you who would like to attend the workshop listen to a recording of the book rather than read it and practice seeing how you are every person in the book.
Can't wait for that one, Michael.
Yes, yes, me too.
Mm.
Reflective Listening Buddies is one of our most popular programs for a reason. There is no other support quite like it for practicing presence, with participants required to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. A new quarter starts October 15th. And as we just heard about, is conditioning talking you out of a commitment that you really want to keep? If so, and if you would like some support, sign up for the Keeping Commitments Buddy program, which begins October 15th. Participants will be paired with a buddy for accountability and support during this kind and compassionate training. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Ashwini today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make that show. And a conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes would be great. Okay, Ashwini, I think we're ready.
Excellent.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? First caller, please announce yourself.
Hi, Ashwini, it's Bill.
Bill!
Yes.
Go ahead.
I've been practicing with Zazen meditation, and I wanted to get some guidance about it. And I thought I could share my experience and see what your guidance would be. So a couple of weeks ago, I had a profound silence in doing some recording and listening that led to the practice of sitting meditation to practice just to direct attention to that silence. And so as I did Zazen meditation, I counted my breaths. And what came to awareness was there was this duality between the experience of being awake and being asleep. And I label awake being there's clarity in my eyes, there's clarity in my mind, there's an energy in my body, but not a disturbing energy. And asleep would be like my eyes are foggy, I'm daydreaming, and all of a sudden I realized my posture slumped. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that this duality was rooted in a sense of my being coming from my mind, that my mind is my consciousness, is my center of my being. So I did some recording and listening on that, and what the mentor said was, to direct my attention to my chest. And so I transferred my attention to my physical breath and not the cognitive the counting. I mean, counting was there and thoughts were there, but the attention was to my chest. And what I experienced was that like thoughts became like birds twittering in the background, like when you're meditating and the window's open and there's a bird chirping in the background. The thoughts were there, but they were like, they were not at the center of my conscience. And I noticed in that experience, looking back, that I wasn't going down any bunny trails of daydreaming or struggling with the duality. And it was a pretty stable experience. So I took that experience into my active life. And so when I was at work, instead of paying attention to what the mind was doing, I just paid attention to my chest and be present to what was before me. And it was amazing because it was like, wow, the thoughts are there, but I'm not my thoughts. And I thought, this is fairly new experience. Mm-hmm. This is a new experience for me. And then I do believe it's ego karma conditioning, and that's what made me want to call in, is like, well, if you don't pay attention to your thoughts, you're going to get in trouble. Bad things are going to happen, and you're going to end up suffering because you're not listening to me. And I was like, you know, I need guidance on this because the experience was so profound. I wasn't sure. I want to explore the experience further, but I thought maybe somebody with more experience could let me know if I'm going down the wrong trail.
So, Bill, did you record and listen about that? Like, so you had this profound experience, you recorded about it, there was some guidance that came from the intelligence that animates. Now you're listening to a voice telling you, which you clearly can tell is the voice. Did you kind of go back to the intelligence to sort of explore what the voices were saying?
Well, that came up. Okay, so that came up yesterday, and so I'm doing Zazen coaching. I'm doing Zen coaching, and the coach was like, "That would be a great question to ask the guide." So I guide meeting call in on Tuesday night, and I was like, okay.
Uh-huh.
So I did not do two-handed recording and listening about questioning this.
Well, not even questioning it, simply exploring the experience, right? Because I project what your I don't know this, but from what I heard you say about how you're meditating, that when you sit with attention on awareness, there's a sense of clarity and awakeness and a sense of presence, and it's revealed everywhere in your posture, in the clarity that you have. And there's another way of meditating, which intuitively you sense is not attention here, but attention on the mind. The mind is meditating. And so there's an entire signature of physical and mental that is of that experience, right? And so then that you're able to carry, based on your recording with the mentor, that attention on awareness, which is what you describe as, when my attention is on awareness, the thoughts are in awareness, but my attention is not on the thoughts, right? So it feels like the birds twittering in the background or the clouds passing through the sky. There's an expanded awareness that allows for everything to be as it is, and the qualitative difference around that is where the attention is. And so you take that into your life, and you feel that difference in not just in meditation, but as you're going about your life. And then the voice comes in to say, well, and so it would just be a curiosity thing for me to either do the process that's so successful, right? Something comes in and you pick up the recorder and you explore it, and the intelligence that is animating us gives us our clarity. And, I don't know, this might be just fun to do, but when you bring your attention back in awareness, does that voice become like the twittering of the birds? Where it's just a way of observing, oh, that's what the mind is saying, rather than make it the subject of the attention, which by your
experience... I lost you there, Ashwini.
I can hear you, Ashwini.
Okay, so did you... Did you hear? Did you just miss the last part, Bill?
sort of to reflect back what you were saying is that the intelligence was saying, you know, continue down this path of directing attention to awareness, and the mind is saying, don't forget about me. And so you're saying, record and listen around that.
And apply what you've already seen. You can just return your attention to awareness and let that voice go into what is something that you observe rather than becoming the subject of your attention.
Mm.
So it's the same process, right?
Yeah, very, yes, because when I become the subject, then there is this fight for survival. It's like, oh goodness, this is me.
Yeah,
and that's another sign
that's
ego karma conditioning.
Right, so I hear a voice that says, oh my gosh, if you don't listen to your thoughts, you're not going to survive. And so then the attention shifts to that conversation, and I become engaged with that. I become something that's engaged with that. I've born, and you know, we've left the entire process learning that you had in meditation, which was, as long as my attention's on the mind, I don't have clarity, I don't have well-being, it's not an amazing experience. But if I have attention here, and the thoughts recede to something in awareness that's in the periphery of awareness, then I'm having a different life experience.
Correct. Yes. That you reflected back exactly the experience I was having.
Right.
When
so
I'm, but what's interesting? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. No. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that even the counting of the breaths, the 1 through 10, right? When meditation was coming from the mind, it was really focusing on making sure I say 1 through 10, and then when I redirected the attention to just being aware of being present, just sitting in a sense, the counting is still going on, but there wasn't an attachment to the counting, so it too was like a twittering in the background.
Mm-hmm.
It was going
yeah.
on, but it's in the background because the attention mm-hmm. is not on what the thoughts are doing, but rather to being just sitting, being present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an amazing experience, right? What counts, right? Or what counted
before? Which I've heard. That, you know, counting is to give the mind something to do while we direct awareness to awareness,
yeah.
or direct our attention to awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
So
well,
this aspect
and
is...
interested in the process, right, Bill? Because I think that that's really the exploration, which is, okay, so I have this profound experience, the voice comes in, I know what the voice is, and what it's attempting to do is to get my attention, and so then, you know, we know all the tools that we deploy in order for that to be not the case, right?
That's
so
right.
So perhaps this particular voice is capable of getting your attention because it says XYZ. And so just to be curious about, okay, that's one way by which it can compel my attention still because I believe it.
Yes, because it's been the intellect that has, or at least it says that this is what has advanced me in career and et cetera. So
That's right.
But
yeah, and advanced me in the suffering process.
Right. It made me, I guess, what the universe dropped in was a quote that said, the mind is a great servant to the soul, but it's a terrible master.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And so I'm paying it. So that also helped me to let's direct attention to awareness.
Yes, and to stay with experience. right, Bill, to stay with our experience. And
yes.
So the claim is that the intellect is what got you where it got you, and without it, you're not going to be anyone or anything. But if I'm going to my experience of being able to, I mean, that's such
yes.
a false claim, right? Because my experience
yes.
is mostly I don't do anything. Everything gets done. Body breathes, body eats, body digests. I mean, intelligence digests food. Things drop in. The false sense of operating from the mind and the mind's claim that it's the architect of the universe is such a contradiction to our actual experience.
Yes. Yes. The mind thinks it's in control of the world and creating the world, and it's simply not so, because
yeah.
everything is operating in and around us that is completely outside of the control of the mind.
Yeah, that's there's an intelligence definitely operating, and you're aware and in touch of that as you sit with your attention on awareness.
Mm.
Words are twittering, thoughts are thinking, breath is breathing, Bill is here living, like, right? There's a whole bunch of things that are going on in intelligencing. Mind does not have to be involved.
Yes. Yes. There's a difference between awareness and thinking. It's almost as though the thoughts are like programs just running in the mind.
Yeah.
And awareness is something different in that it is, it's, I don't know how else to describe it other than awareness. Presence.
We don't have to, right? I mean, that's where we get into trouble when we try to label all these things.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I mean, that's
yes.
what the intellect is. It's the attempt to understand mentally what you intuitively know experientially, and don't have to explore any further in any other way other than continuing to pay attention, being aware, and staying with your experience.
Yes. And that's what we call as sangha noodling versus being in awareness. Am I right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, and it's very hard to describe that quality of attention on awareness, which is why we even that label, you know, what does that really mean? And yet there's an intuitive sensing of what that is and the various flavors of what I can encounter when that's going on, right?
Yes. And this is just a new experience of that experience. So reflective listening, you can be very aware of what the conversation is without being in the conversation, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's one way of being aware. Or when we record and listen, and I listen and listen and listen to that suffering recording until I'm just listening to it, I'm just being with it. That too is the place of awareness. And this is just another, this sitting meditation is just another practice of being aware.
Mm-hmm.
Being in
yeah.
that state of awareness.
Yeah, of yes, of being aware.
Mm. Well, this is cool.
It is very cool.
Sorry. Well, good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Lovely.
So I'll go forth and I'll record and listen around. I'll do two-handed recording and listening around this voice that says, you know, and look at what the ego karma conditioning is around the fear of letting go of the intellect to be
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
practicing awareness.
Right. Yeah. I think that's
well,
a,
thank
that's
you.
A great next step.
Thank you.
Thanks. And one other thing I just would, I mean, just offer, right? The experience feels extraordinary and new, and therefore there's curiosity about it. And there's an attempt by conditioning, I would project, to have every sit feel like that, right? That it suddenly becomes, we sit simply because sit for every experience.
You're drifting farther and farther away.
Sorry.
I can't hear you. I there we go.
Yeah, well, that watch for what happens in that conditioned process to have a particular experience when you're meditating. That's not what it's about. It's a laboratory where anything that arises is held in awareness, right? So we're not going for an experience. Yeah.
In other words, don't compare one meditation sitting to another. And be, well, this isn't what it was yesterday.
That's right.
And then beat ourselves up because we haven't gotten there.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Lou.
That's good. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Bill. And Ashwini, that seems like the fundamental question of Zen is, when am I attending to here in the moment, and when am I in a conditioned mind or in a story or listening to the voices?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if we know, we don't know.
yes, exactly. A question, continuing to question without, needing or trying to pin down an answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to be an inquiry, right?
Yes. To be an inquiry. Beautiful way of saying it. And Ashwini, we are going to hear from our recording and listening program, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Ashwini, I wanted to remind folks that there's an app, a practice recorder app for the iPhone, and it's great for recording and listening, and it's on sale in the App Store, on the iPhone's App Store.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Great for classifying recordings.
Yes, it is. Great for classifying recordings and for playing them on loop. And yeah, I found it really helpful. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Susan.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Susan.
I'm the Susan from the recording and listening class, actually.
Uh-huh.
And also the Susan from Denver, Colorado. I haven't called in for a long time.
Mm-hmm. What's going on, Susan? What would you like to look at?
Yeah, well, I'm having a lot of challenges with my health, which I think I mentioned on Friday in the recording and listening class. And I'm just starting to kind of get into acceptance, kind of acceptance of the health issues that I do have, these kind of very challenging health issues that I have. And I've been feeling, you know, some fear coming up. I notice how my mind is, that I notice how my mind's kind of going back. I've had some difficult experiences with some people in the medical world. Today I had an infusion done for the autoimmune illness and had a very difficult situation with a nurse there, and kind of had a difficult situation with another medical
so
doctor.
It sounds like a really challenging time, right?
Yes, it sounds very challenging, and I'm trying to stay in that place of like allowing myself to be happy, allowing myself to feel joy, to make that choice to think thoughts that are going to be supportive and helpful. But then that conditioned mind keeps bringing me back so strongly into that place that I go over these scenarios again and again in my head of what had happened, like today, and then I call people and talk about them. And I know that's not really helpful, and yet I'm having such a hard time allowing that loving part of me to be there.
So let me ask you, Susan. So there, it sounds like what you're being prompted to do is to think positively, to think loving thoughts around this experience, rather than just being with the experience as it is.
I think I'm having a hard time accepting the experience. I noticed that I'm feeling a lot of resistance of not wanting to have that experience.
Okay,
as it
here's
was.
What I would. Yes, so here's what I.
Yeah,
would
I noticed do that.
If I was in your shoes, I would pick up the recorder and talk about how hard it is for me to accept what I'm going through. I don't want this. I really feel like this is difficult. This is something that I'm afraid of. And actually use the recorder to be with the experience you're having. Not to go to, I want to use the mind to transcend what the mind is doing. So I want to think positive thoughts, and I want to accept this situation mentally, rather than just what we're attempting to do in practice is to be with whatever is happening for you, which could be resistance to acceptance, which is what's happening right now, or I watch some fear come up. As soon as I'm talking about what is going on for me, I'm no longer identified with it. I'm the awareness that is witnessing that. It does not have to be a quality of positiveness necessarily. It's just simply to be with how it is. So perhaps you would want to try that, right? Because the attempt to be positive about something or overcome resistance about... Yes, Michael? Did we lose Susan?
I'm still here. If you could hear me, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, Susan. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You're not so easy to understand, but I can hear you.
Okay, Michael?
You sounded a little bit garbled to me, Ashwini. just the last 20, 30 seconds or so. Before that, it was good.
Okay. So anyway, Susan, as I was saying, perhaps you might want to try doing that, which is recording your experience exactly how it is.
I record exactly how it is, which I've been trying to do. And I think what I was talking about is not forcing the experience to be a wonderful experience for me, but just to say, okay, this experience was painful, and I can give myself a lot of love and compassion for that. And also I can allow myself to do things that are good for me and to be happy, and this experience doesn't have to rule my world, these experiences.
Yes, exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yes, exactly. And I would say not even how painful it was, but how painful it is. Right? Because
yeah.
you're talking
yeah.
from your experience in the moment. So it sounds, the conditioning can make us think that what we're doing in practice is to have a particular type of experience. What we are practicing is to have be present to the experience we are having. And when you talk about love and compassion for yourself, that's why we do the two-handed recording, because
mm-hmm.
not only do I want to say it was challenging for me, or I'm afraid, or, you know, it's painful and I don't know how this is going to go, which is what's going on, or I feel some resistance to accepting this diagnosis that I've been given, which is what's going on for you. You can also drop into the place of making that movement to say, I hear that. It must be frightening. Or it is that there's a response to being present with it, which allows you to be in compassion for the person having that experience. You do both those movements, right? Just because you're saying you're afraid doesn't mean that's not according to conditioning, that's not a positive experience, so you have to deny your fear. But that's not helpful.
No, I try to allow the fear to be there. Now I've been getting caught up with these stories of what happened with the nurse and what happened with my new doctor the other day. And I'm getting caught up in those stories now and how they're not helpful or supportive for me, and
that's right.
And yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you're seeing it so clearly, though, Susan, because what you're clear about is you know when you're with your experience, and you know when you're with the story. So when you find yourself in the story, that's when you want to redirect your attention to being here, right? I don't need to be in a story about how painful it was, and the way you can make that movement is to pick up the recorder and say, you know what's going on for me right now? The mind is attempting to catch my attention by repeating the story of what happened with the nurse. It's not happening to me right now. Right?
No.
And so let me have my attention on my feet. And that way you get from the story to being here.
I'm sorry, the last two sentences I could not understand. Could you repeat that?
Well, the way I go from being in the story to being here is not saying, oh my God, I have to be happy now and I can't indulge in a story. I pick up the recorder and go, what's going on for me right now is my attention is on a story about what happened in that experience or that interaction with the nurse. I choose not to have my attention there. What I choose to attend to right now is whatever's in front of me. You know, I'm enjoying the apple that I'm eating, or I feel the breeze on my cheek, and I'm walking to water my plants, and that's the way of attempting to redirect the attention from where the story was to where you are.
Okay, yeah, I think I understand you. It's like maybe taking away a bit of that pressure of how you have to be or should be or and
precisely.
And doing then a recording about where you're at and then saying, oh yeah, there I am, stuck again in conditioned mind. Aha, yep, I see that. I don't want to be stuck in conditioned mind. It's not supportive or helpful for me. So what loving, compassionate thing can I do for myself right now? What would be a really loving, compassionate thing that I could do that would be really helpful and supportive for me? And
right.
kind of give
or,
myself
or
that.
Even,
mm-hmm.
Yes,
yeah.
or not even necessarily having to do that, right? Because there's additional pressure if you're not feeling well. You could just say, I'm going to bring my attention to walking. I'm going to feel the feet on my floor. That's what I'm doing right now. That itself is supportive because you're not in a conversation. The only thing that's not supportive is being in a conversation in conditioned mind.
Okay, yeah, I think I got you. Yeah, the important thing is not to be in that conversation with conditioned mind. And if it feels like pressure, like, oh, I need to be compassionate and kind to myself, that might feel like pressure. So it's maybe just important to do anything that's going to support me not to be thinking those conditioned thoughts. And that could be just be mindful of, washing the dishes or watching the leaves outside blow through in the breeze, right? Could just
and
be
recording
anything.
About it.
And recording that.
About it. Because you don't want to be in your mind thinking about how beautiful the leaves are, right? You want to be
breaking up
the recorder.
Ashwini, you're breaking up. Sorry. Can't hear that last couple sentences.
I was just reinforcing that you want to be with your recorder talking about how beautiful the leaves are and how the water is in your dish. You want to be actually recording about it. Because otherwise, you might just go into a mental conversation about how green the leaves are and you've not left conditioned mind. You're not here.
Okay, I understand. Yeah, I'm not really in the present moment where I want to actually be. And by recording about what's actually happening in the present moment, like I'm taking the recorder and I'm like, oh, right now I'm listening to the brook and it sounds so beautiful. And that's what you mean, right? And I'm listening to the trees and the breeze.
That's precisely what I mean. Yes.
That
is that's kindness. That is compassion. That's awareness. That's being in conscious, compassionate awareness. Rather than attempting to become someone who does something compassionate or kind.
Yeah, I think I understand. There's a bit of a fine line between those two.
Precisely.
Those two things, yeah. And doing the recording can be really helpful because then I really am in the present, really describing what's going on in that moment and helping myself and supporting myself by just talking about what's present.
That's right. That's it. That's it exactly. I think you're paying such close level of attention, Susan. You're going to get it.
Okay. Thank you, Ashwini, for your support. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Susan. You take care. And keep us posted, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
Sasha.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. And actually, I appreciated that focus on being here and attending to what's here and having the idea that how I should be feeling or how I should be practicing in order to get to the way I want to feel. It is difficult to drop all of the shoulds and standards.
Yeah. Thank you, Michael. And you sound very garbled, so I don't know if it's you or me. But
Are you there, Ashwini?
I am, Michael.
Okay, now I can hear you. Okay, so let's move to our next caller here, Ashwini. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Are you double muted, perhaps?
Let me try this. Is this working?
Oh, there we go.
There
yes,
we go.
You're live now.
All right. My name is Jess. I'm calling from Seattle.
Hi, Jess.
Hi, Jess.
Hi. This is my first time calling.
Congratulations and welcome. Have you been with us for a long time listening and this is your first time calling, or is it your first time with the show?
What you said the first time, I've been listening for many years.
Oh, okay. Well, glad to hear from you.
Thank you. It's nice to call in. I made a commitment a few days ago, and I was actually the first one unmuted, and then you guys couldn't hear me. So I had the rush feeling then, so I'm a little more relaxed now.
Good for you. Good for you. So what are you looking at?
Well, I can share a success lately. I came back to practice. I came back to practice after being very miserable at work. And I decided that I can choose to be a different way and feel a different way at work. And getting back into the archives really helped. I did recording and listening. And had to do it right before bed, and had to do it like on my way to work and on my way back, and it was a really like it saved me from that situation, feeling that way.
Yeah. So recognizing how much suffering there was in a work situation and bringing all of practice to that, and doing it as if your life depended on it, which it sounds like it did, and really transforming your relationship with that situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel a lot better at work. A lot better. I even was like dancing in my seat for most of one work day last week. And I'm like, I don't even know why I'm like happy right now. There was no reason to be.
Yes.
And I've just been seeing. Yeah. Right.
There isn't. And that's such a wonderful thing, right, Jess, to know all of those things. First of all, that the practice is a how. It's scientific. You do X, Y, and Z, and it guarantees that you won't suffer, right? And so you execute X, Y, and Z, and you have the experience of not suffering. And you realize that, you know, the whatever conditioning says that your happiness is dependent upon and that you need a reason to be happy and you're miserable because, all of that gets let go into, the only reason I'm miserable is because I'm in a conversation and conditioned mind. If I do the work to have my attention here, then happiness is the result. It's not because of anything. It's just simply what is.
That was my experience, and I'm really grateful for practice and I'm really glad that I called, because I'm usually someone who needs to figure it out and have everything prepared, and I had no idea what I was going to say, and it was just really nice to be on the call tonight. I want to make this regular. I want to commit regularly.
Please do, and that's so good. That's so good, right? Because what our life is about, I mean, the process that you just described about bringing practice to work is, or work to practice, as we would say it, has broad application, right? Everywhere that you're caused to suffer or have an identity like figuring it out, you just use the practice tools, and those are just places where you become happier and happier because conditioning can't rule your life.
Yeah. Conditioning easily flips in, like it was. I've been really happy these last few days for also really no reason, and conditioning wanted to even slip in just now to be like, well, when is this going to end? I mean, it will end. You can't stay this happy.
Right. Yeah. Well, and sometimes it does tell you the truth around that, right, Jess? Because our experience tends to be that certain circumstances come up and we do get identified and miserable.
But the good news,
of course,
that I think that you are aware of and all of us as practitioners start to get is that's simply undulation, right? There are times when conditioning falls away and we have a sense of well-being, and times when conditioning ratchets up where we get to a place of well-being. The good news is that I know how to do that, right? Before practice, I did not know how to redirect the attention and work to transform a miserable situation into a happy one. So I'm not defensive against life, right? I don't have to go around going, oh, my God, when's the next shoe going to drop because I'm going to be a puddle of misery. I don't have to live in that place because I know when I do get identified, I know how to get disidentified. Might take some time. It might be a little bit painful, but I know how to do it.
Right. Like now I have the tools. It won't. Not that I'm looking to be perpetually happy, or if I'm not happy at all times, everything is wrong or something is wrong with me or the situation. But yeah, coming back quickly or knowing how to come back, even if it's not quick.
That's precisely true. It's what we were talking about with Susan, right? The skill that I am becoming adept at is the ability to be here no matter what.
Yeah.
And being here implies there's nothing wrong with me or there's nothing wrong with the situation. It's just that I have a superb ability to just be with how it is.
Yeah.
It's so comforting, so reassuring, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's miles away from being perpetually stuck in conditioned mind as I was before, and it's so great to know a way out.
Oh boy, yeah, and brings us to our knees in that gratitude that you're talking about, that we've got a way, not to be at the mercy of something, but to be at choice about it.
Yes, thank you for being here, and thank you for the years of archive and starting back. I started back at 2002 just the other day, and just thank you all for being here and being consistent. And
well, thank you, Jess, and as you said, I'm glad you have a commitment to not be a stranger, so we look forward to hearing from you more often.
I look forward to calling in.
Okay. Take care.
You too.
Thanks for joining us, Jess. And great to hear from a new caller. And as you both talked about, it's great to have the tools to be able to get out of these suffering situations, Ashwini.
Mm. Yeah, the suffering cul-de-sacs, right?
Yes.
Or whirlpools, yes. Or whatever analogy we want to use.
Yes, yes. And I think we have time for one more caller here, Ashwini.
Great, thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea calling.
Hi, Andrea.
Hey, Andrea.
Hi. Boy, well, what I'm looking at is struggling with situation with a family member. So it's my son is supposed to be doing homework, and he hasn't been doing it, and that really triggered a lot of conditioning. I found this out yesterday, and there was just a real attack, and barely slept last night, and I guess I just really need some support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it sounds like the information triggered an enormous amount of conditioning, and I project an attack by self-hate.
Yeah, and, you know, just this conditioning of fear and globalizing and you know, basically being told this is a disaster and the same thing's going to happen now that happened last semester, and that this online environment is just, you know, just disastrous. And, you know, there's just all kinds of stuff I'm hearing. And
and so what would feel supportive to you, Andrea?
I don't know. I think what conditioning is doing is disconnecting me from, well, what I'm being told is from everyone, but really it's probably most from myself, you know, you know, really from well-being. And and there's a lot of there's a lot of anger too, a lot of anger. And there's a person who's really incredulous that he could do this. And
And so have you tried recording recording about that? I mean, doing the exercise with just being with the situation, right? Because I project that what conditioning wants you to do is to get identified and stay with the identification rather than having the experience of whatever it is that's going on for you around it, whatever arises for you around it. Because there's no way you can be with the situation or be there for your son or take any action if there is something to be taken if I'm in that place of being completely making the situation about, within quotes, me.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, I mean, I did do, I couldn't sleep last night, so I did the two-handed recording and then I meditated. And then I listened to an old recording from Sherry, Blanket of Acceptance. And then later on in the night, I couldn't sleep again, so I got up and meditated for another 10 minutes and then listened to it, that same recording again.
Yes. Well, and it sounds like, Andrea, it's what we're told, right? So I meditate, I record and listen, I turn to my practice tools, and somehow or the other, the situation needs to rectify itself or I need to feel better about it, right? Rather than, it's still working on me, and so I need to continue to do the two-handed recording and explore what's going on for me, right? Because it's the not being able to sleep is, I'm listening to voices that are upsetting or disturbing or whatever it is, and that's where the attention is. And so what the best support I can offer myself is to be with myself throughout that, to look at what I'm angry, well, and I'm incredulous, and I can't sleep, and this is really disturbing, right? To be able to process that with the recorder assists us to get it all out of conditioned mind and into conscious awareness, which is how we can be with it.
Yeah, I guess to a certain extent that's what I've been doing. I mean, I guess, you know, there's this, of course, there's this resistance of, I don't want to feel this way, but...
That's right. Yeah, and that's primarily it, right? That I don't want to feel this way prevents us from actually being with what is and therefore not being something outside of it, not wanting it, right?
Yeah, and I guess I just feel like I feel like I don't even know how to relate to him. Like, I feel like I can't even, you know, like I guess I feel like I have to work on myself because I just feel so incredulous. Like, there's this part that's just like, how could he do this? And so I don't even feel like I can even relate to him at all.
Yeah, and that intuition is telling you, Andrea, process what's going on for you before you can relate to him, right? That's intelligent.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself. be with what's going on for you, and from a place of clarity when you arrive at it, maybe you can be with him, right? Because it's getting to love on your end, getting to centeredness on your end that will allow you to be with him without coming from identification. And, you know, however that works for you, right, exploring what that is or turning your attention to what you love about him or what you love about yourself or the love that you do have allows us to move from that identification to that centered place where life, we're available to life and how life is going to guide us in that place. And there are no shortcuts through that.
Yeah, I guess conditioning believes there's a shortcut, and also conditioning. Yeah, I mean, there's just so much identification and anger at everybody around me, and yeah, so it's just really hard to relate to anyone right now.
That's right. That's because we're so separate, right? We're so identified.
Yeah.
That connection is not my experience. Separation is my experience. And so what I'm practicing with is assisting myself to get back to where I'm connected to the love, right? Connected to love. And I know, I feel I'm not there, right? And so that's all right. There's a process I know how to do in order to get out of the identification and get back to that place from which love is what I'm connected to, and therefore from which I can act.
Is there a way to connect to love?
I think you know the answer to that question, Andrea. Right? It's to redirect attention to it. Right? So what do I love? What do I appreciate? And keep what is working. That's one way to do it. And the other way is to be with what's going on for you. Because if there's anger, I want to be with that. That's a way of accepting what's going on and moving from being identified with whatever ego is reacting to being the awareness that's watching that and being able to offer the compassion that can embrace that experience. And now I've made the movement into compassion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I think I need to listen to this, and because that's what I'm finding difficult right now, is to find the compassion.
That's right. Well, that's because we're identified, right?
Right.
So I can diagnose the problem, and I know the solution to it. I just have to take the medicine, which is I want to talk about what's going on for me. Then I want to switch the recorder to the left hand and listen from a place of being able to be in loving acceptance of this person who's having a hard time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's I don't want to take up more time because it's already after the hour, but thank you. I appreciate it, and I'll listen again to this.
Yes, and thanks for calling in, Andrea, right? Because when we're in that place of such a level of separation, we really want to put ourselves in a practice conversation and ask for the support. And the support just reflects what we know, and we feel encouraged to do it.
Well, thank you. That really makes me actually feel like crying, because that's just such a lovely acknowledgement. So.
Yeah, and that seems to be what she needs, right?
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah. All right. You take care, Andrea, and keep in touch and keep us posted, and really just stay in the tractor beam of practice, right? Because ultimately, as you know by your experience, it will bring you home.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Ashwini.
Okay. You take care, Andrea.
Yeah. Thanks, Michael. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye. Thanks for joining us, Andrea. And yes, Ashwini, I'm totally with you there. And staying close to practice, stay in the tractor beam of practice, and so impressive to be able to call in when struggling. It's great.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. So thank you, Ashwini, and thanks to all of our callers and all of our listeners tonight, and go happy.
Take care, Michael. Thank you.
Thank you.